Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8 o'clock p.m. hour, the time when we come together to explore the Word of God together in fellowship, the body of Christ, our believers who are seeking Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight is a good night because God has given us an opportunity to come back so that we may explore the Word of God as we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for allowing me to be a servant unto God, a vessel made of clay, soft and brittle and easily broken. But I thank God for the treasure inside of the vessel, the Holy Spirit, that gives illumination and revelation. I realize I can only give information, but it's the Holy Ghost that illuminates the word to show you that it is true and give you the intended purpose why God allowed it to be written. I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule. And I'm just grateful. One of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. I'm grateful for all that God allows all of us to do, to live in this world, to guide us and protect us through danger seen and unseen. I thank God for what he's doing in and through our lives. What a mighty God we serve. And at this time, our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the title of our lesson is, but simple words, two simple words with a lot of punch, with a lot of value, with a lot of security, but God. And at this time, I'm going to play a song, and the name of the song is Sovereign. I chose that song tonight because when we say, but God, we realizing that God is sovereign, and he could do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter if it's written on the wall that one and one equal two, God can do what he wants. God have a way to dispense the natural for the supernatural in our lives so we could say with authority and with expectancy that God will be done. And we trust the will of God because we know God has our best interest at heart. And tonight, we're going to look at but God. At this time, I'm going to play Sovereign, and that's the reason I picked it. Picked it because you can only say but God when you truly believe that he's sovereign. Yes, that was Daryl Coley saying that God is sovereign. And because he's sovereign, that's why we can say, but God. And tonight I'm going to turn it over to our prayer warrior. She's going to lead us to God's throne of grace, and then we're going to expound on the word together. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. Father God, we thank you for the gift of life and salvation. We thank you for another day's journey. Father God, we thank you for looking beyond our faults and supplying our every need. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for our minister, Diane Adams, our sister in Christ, our teacher, a prayer warrior, a servant of God. Continue, God, to use her, O Lord, in ways that only you can. We thank you, God, tonight for our Bible study. Lord, we thank you for everybody that's listening in on tonight. We thank you, Father God, for the fellowship that we have during our Bible study. We thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ, came to save us from sin. Father God, I ask that you continue your guidance over us all, that we do not stray from the path of righteousness, and that we take each day to do your will and not our will, and glorify your name. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I give thanks, and amen.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being in place week after week. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, we always have a little intro, a little black background, and we've been talking about people, places, or things. Tonight is sort of a thing. The scriptures that we're going to expound on is talking about the reality of Christ being who he is. And because of that, I decided to talk about Christianity versus Judaism. You know, some people really believe that it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, long as you do A, B, and C, whatever they come up in their mind. But the Bible teaches us that you have to accept Christ. You have to go through the Father to get to the Son. And they believe whatever they believe. And all faith is based on belief. But you need to evaluate with evidence. And for the believers in Christ, the Christians, we use the Holy Bible to authenticate our faith with the evidence what God has given us, the prophecies that were fulfilled, and different things like that. But I want you to know tonight that Judaism, I guess we could call it a religion because we know religion is man-made, but their doctrine and belief is established on one God. They believe in God the Father, but they never accepted Jesus, his son. And Jesus said, you cannot get to the Father unless you go through the Son. Evidence. But they believe in one God and direct all prayers towards him alone, while we as Christians, if you're Christian, are taught about the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, Jews generally consider action and behavior to be the primary importance. I'm going to say that again. They consider actions and behavior to be the primary importance. They believe that belief comes out of your actions. The all-important difference between Christianity and Judaism is the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity teaches that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah. You know, the Jews are still believing that there will be a Messiah, but I guess they figured long as they do right and if they die, they would have the eternal life. And God, they believe that God is promising to send a Messiah, but they never accept Christ as the Messiah, so they're still waiting for the Messiah today. A Messiah, the Savior. You see, Judaism often recognized Jesus as a good teacher and perhaps even a prophet of God. See, he was a good fellow. He did some good things. You see, Judaism does not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, if I take it a little step further, Christianity teaches that Jesus was God in the flesh. Christianity teaches that God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ so that he could lay down his life to pay the price for our sins. You know, we say that God is the incarnated Jesus. Judaism strongly denied that Jesus was God, or that God had children, or that God even needed anyone to help him to do what he wanted to do. So they believed that such a sacrifice would have been unnecessary. You see, Jesus Christ is the all-important distinguish between Christianity and Judaism. The person and the work of Jesus is one of the primary issues that Christianity and Judaism cannot agree upon. The Jews today, as I said earlier, are still waiting for the Messiah. And I took a trip to Jerusalem some time ago. And you know they have the Great Wall where they people go and put their prayers right down in the paper and put it in the walls, and they go to the Jews go to the wall and they pray so many times a day. And they was asking God to send a Messiah. And I was so astounded that they would do it so religiously. And then I noticed that they had their children with them. So they're teaching their children the same thing, of course, because that's their belief. And I got real sad because for as me and my belief, I believe that Jesus is the real deal, that he is the Savior of the world. And, you know, your heart goes out for them to believe. But you know, I've been around a lot of people in different religions. I had a coworker that was a Muslim that feels some of the same things as Judaism, that you do good and you go to heaven. I think I had a painting to frame one time and I asked about the symbols that was in it, and it was a Hebrew picture, and they said that you would do good, and every time you did good, you would get feathers. And, you know, you had to have so many feathers, and then you would automatically enter in. So it's all kind of things going around, and it's been from the beginning of time. But the good news is that they have a lot of Jews. Now, when I say Jew, usually they say anyone born by a Jewish mother is a Jew. So Jews, all Jews by birth makes them a Jew.
all Jews do not follow any religion, just like anybody else. And some Jews don't follow Judaism, but they're Jew, so don't get it confused. You know, some people say they believe if they're Jew, then they study Judaism. It's not always the case. And they have had many Jews over the history of time that has accepted Christ as their Savior. So they are Jew by birth. You don't take their nationality away, but as far as their belief, they became Christians. Jesus is the way, the only way. And those who want to study it a little bit more, you know, just look it up. Just like the people that knock up, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that Jesus was a good teacher, maybe a prophet. We that believe in Jesus Christ, we believe that Jesus is the way, the only way for us to receive salvation by accepting his death, burial, and resurrection. So that's a little bit, hopefully, to perk your interest, and you may want to, you know, look it up some more, because, you know, the lesson tonight is giving us more proof. And sometimes, I think I was asked one time, you know, they have prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, about Jesus being born, you know, as prophecy in Isaiah 53 say he was wounded for our transgression. He was buried for our iniquities, you know. And then we see the prophecy fulfillment in the New Testament writing. That's just some of the little different things. But you're going to see why I use that, and even why I say it's some of that when we get into the lesson. For those who have your Bible, go to the book of Ephesians. And for Christianity, I'll say this again. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus is the way. And we believe that. We didn't just think of it up in our mind. We use and believe and trust the holy word of God that gives us much evidence of God's plan through his prophets, his judges, his priests, and then his disciples and his apostles about Jesus Christ. We use the written word, the 66 books in the Holy Bible. We believe that it was inspired by God. He gave inspiration to 40 men from all walks of life. And we believe the Bible. Many times different religions try to contradict the word of God and saying it couldn't be so or it doesn't add up. But we as Christians should believe the Bible wholeheartedly. That's where God speaks to us. And we're going into the lesson tonight. And I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1, 2, and 3. And when I read these verses, it's talking about the fallen man and his hopeless condition. He was dead as a result of sin. So verses 1, 2, and 3 is going to emphasize on that. And the scripture reads as follows. And you had he quickened. That means he has made us alive. He has quickened us to make alive. Who were dead, not physical, but spiritual. When the Bible says in that Isaiah 53,
about by his stripes we were healed. It was talking about our sin sickness. Come on, y'all. It was talking about our sin sickness, and it was going to create us to be destined to dead, and it was going to separate us from God. But by his stripes we were healed, those who believe and trust in him as their Savior. And the scripture goes on to say, who was dead and trespasses in sin. Verse 2 say, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, meaning the world standard, according to the prince of the according to the prince of the power of the air. Many times you could say that Satan is a prince here on earth, a prince of the power of the air, the prince of the air. And people get confused with that, but this is the word of God, and it says, according to the prince of the power of the air, talking about Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. When the Bible speaks about conversation, it's usually talking about the way you do things. They say we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. This is saying what happened to us once we believed. We were quickened. We were made alive. And it tells us how we was before that. You know, so if I look at these three verses and expound on them a little while, it's amazing and not so amazing that Paul was talking to Christians. And we know this because he said he has quickened. You got to remember, before you were saved, you walk according to the world standard. The Bible describes what the world standard is. The world standard you can find in 1 John 15 and 16, which says, for all that is in the world, living by the world standard, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. You got to know that. The Bible teaches us that we are in the world, but not of the world, which means physically we are present, but not of it, meaning we are not partakers of its value. You know, we now should walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. God is allowing us to be in the world, but living in the kingdom of God as his holy people, to be a light to help guide others as our light so shine and others see our good work. See, if we do that, God will be glorified. And God is using and want to use all of us as a calling card. God chose the Israelites, the nation of Israel. He wanted his nation, and it was his desire that they would do what's right towards him, as he did what he would do automatically for them, and others would see and join in. You see, in Romans 12 and 2, I think it is, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. You see, God wants us to draw others. The word of God said, it is God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. And that's why he asks us, let your light shine. You might draw someone in out of darkness to the light. But it looks like the world is conforming the Christians. we're not transforming many in the world, but many Christians are conforming to the world standards. God is allowing us to be in the world. The kingdom of God. I can't tell you where the kingdom of God is. It's not a place here on earth, but it's a moral standard. The world has a standard. Christians are the kingdom of God for the believers have a standard. So when they say the kingdom of God here on earth or the kingdom of God, we are the people of God. They say we should be kingdom builders in the kingdom so God can get the glory. And I'm not trying to tell you we in the world. God knew what was going to go on in the world. And he didn't design us loving him that we have to not love nothing else the way he planned it. We can enjoy the things of this world, such as the beautiful creation God has given us, you know, fellowship one with another, and so on and so on and so on. But we are not to immerse ourselves in world value, nor are we to chase after worldly pleasures only. There's so many people get all hung up because they figure if you want to follow Christ, you're supposed to be poor. God never told you that. If you want to follow Christ, you know, a long time ago, if the preacher got a new car, they almost wanted to put him out of the church. God didn't say none of that. God wants you to have everything that you can have, pleasures on earth that you could afford. He don't want you to get wrapped up in trying to get this or that and having to do this or that. You see all these people out here, our leaders and different things and people in the world who's seeking and searching power, which is under the pride of life. And all they do, they have a lot of money, but they want it all. And it makes them do things. First of all, most of it is sin, and it's not pleasing to God, and it's misusing his people, and it's so on and so on and so on and so on. So he wanted us to be careful. If you could buy that car you like because you make that much money, buy it. But don't put it as a god. Enjoy it. Realizing all of this is temporal. You see, once we accept Christ, pleasure is no longer our calling card in life as it once was, but rather the worship of God. God can change your want appetite just for the action. You know, there's plenty of things we could do. We just don't want to do them anymore. And that's only by God's grace through Christ Jesus where God changed our want appetite. And some people who want appetite has been changed, and it was changed from a this or that. Then they look at others as if they should change with this or that too. But plenty of things you may have changed from, it wasn't necessarily a sin. It's just the way you do what you do these days. You see, but God can change your want appetite. And I believe he's the only one can, because the Bible even teaches that a man's want unlimited. You know, you don't have to have everything to make you happy. You don't have to do everything. And if you do and it lines up with God, we'll do it. God wants us to enjoy all his bountiful blessings, because whatever you need, God got it. You know, it's amazing, you know, some people have gotten so into God, which is a beautiful thing. And many times they believe everything is not right. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. You got to really study for yourself, because man has led man wrong from the beginning of time because of interpretation and different things like that. So, with all of that being said, the bottom line for salvation is Jesus Christ. You know, that Judaism religion that I was, what we talked about earlier, when someone decided to become a Christian, and the people who had became Christians, and because they were Jews, they had a law to be circumcised at the 8th day. And when someone came to join the faith, they told them they had to become a Jew to become a Christian, because they thought they owned the rights to it. And Paul had to come and teach. We need some Pauls in the world today that speaks with authority and speak the truth and give you the background, and you sit down and pray together and let the Holy Spirit give you illumination and revelation. You see, the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, should only be working in the children of disobedience. But he's not. There are so many people compromising, and we all fall short in all of these things. You see, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. We got to remember that. So all of us, any man or whoever, woman, boy or girl, born of a woman, was born with a sin nature. And that sin nature is never going to go away, even when you become a Christian. So that's why as a Christian, we decide what is right, and then we press for the mark, and we pray to be better today than we was yesterday. Because our sin nature is here. And God wrapped us in a flesh suit. And in the flesh is where sin dwells. So I come to tell you tonight, my sisters and brothers, as long as you live in this body wrapped in flesh, flesh is going to crave for fleshly things. And the spirit is going to crave for the things of God. See what this scripture says, something about walking no longer after the flesh, but after the spirit. Why you think so much in the Bible when you study about even some of our greatest characters that we've been going over? When we look at it, some of the greatest characters in the Bible, we see their flaws, we see their mistakes, but we also see the forgiving hand of God. The Jews was good, then they were bad. God saved Nineveh by sending the prophet Jonah. And if you go a little bit further in the Bible, you're going to see that God is now sending Nahum. Because the people of Nineveh, who had turned away and repented and God saved them, now they acting worse than they was at that time. Think about it.
We all fall short of the glory of God. You see, the Jews thought they were special or better because they are God's chosen people. And they thought everybody else was worse. But the bottom line is they were both sinful. God's chosen people who was born with a sin nature, who listened for a while, turned back to idolatry and adultery and everything under the sun. And God forgave them. That's why we could say, but God, because if we look at what they did, how they did it, when they did it, how many times they did it, you would think God would have canceled them out and chose another one. I remember in the Bible, I can't tell you right now where it was, but the people were so horrible. God told Moses, I need to get rid of these people, and I'll let you become the new nation. But Moses said no, and he prayed and prayed and prayed for the people. So if we look at verses 4 through 6, you see these verses here is going to talk about God's mercy and grace in making provision for man. Now watch this. Verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loves us. 5, even when we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Even while we were sinning, you know, some people have people believe in, well, sometimes people themselves believe, you know, you ask them about going to church or if they say, I got to get right to go. Come on, y'all. And no one can get right up on their own, and we're going to see that. We know that, but we're going to see it in writing. But it's grace. See, when they say God's mercy, and it talks about his grace, you see, when we see and when we say the word, but God, this is a beacon of light and hope in any sea of despair. No matter what man or Satan has to say, we can say, but God. You know when it seems all hope is gone? You remember where you see you can't see how the outcome could be any different, and you stand up with excellency in your heart and belief and strong conviction, and you say, but God. You're trusting God to do it, what needs to be done. And you're really almost saying that only he can do it. You see, we will believe the report of the Lord while holding on to the confession of our faith. The condition of men in sin is not hopeless or terminal, because God, who loved us, has come to our rescue through his provision of mercy, which is God holding back the punishment we deserve. You know, if you ever thank God for mercy, we were supposed to be on death row, never to live again. But God, through his mercy, held back the punishment we do deserve. And it's not just in, you know, mercy is just not for the punishment of death because of sin. But God is a merciful God for another situations in our lives. When we say we thank God for taking care of us from danger, seen and unseen, that's a part of his mercy, because you don't know what was ahead of you, on the side of you, in the back of you, that God brought you through. And then when we talk about grace, grace is giving us all the things we don't deserve and never could deserve. When we were dead in sin, 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, so if y'all ever hear Jesus being called the second or the last Adam, this is what they're talking about. The last Adam
Christ was made a quickening spirit. God has done for us by grace, which is a gift from God, and we don't deserve it. What God has done for us by grace while we were dead in our sins. That's why I said plenty of times, I said, God came and looked for me and took me out of the miry clay when I was doing anything and didn't know him and like I do and didn't trust him and wasn't fearing death and wasn't thinking about hell. They say while we were dead in sin, he quickened us together with Christ. We didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. We are who we are because of God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. I want you to know tonight that grace is all of God's riches, the fullness at Christ's expense. And the next three verses, verses 7 through 10, is going to tell us a little bit about salvation. So the scripture start in 7. See, these three verses, 7 through 10, it spells out the gospel of Jesus Christ. 7, what in the ages to come he might show the excellent riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. That's 7. And 8 says, for by grace we are saved through faith. By grace, we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. Not what you did, not how holy you are, not how many times you pray, how many times you read the Bible, how many times you go to Bible study. Come on now. All of that helps you. It makes you a mature Christian. It helps you to make it in this evil and dark world. You see, because right now with everything going on in the world, and I look at Hades, I don't know if I didn't have God in my life, how I could even just look at it and be functional, let alone living through it. But the scripture says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God is so smart. He know mankind. God arranged it and fixed it that it's all about him. It's all about who he is. And it's all about the love he had for his people. God arranged it. He rearranged it. He established it. It's going to come to pass, not your will, but his will. Not your works, but his grace, should any man boast. And there are a lot of boasters out here. You know, sometimes people say, well, I've been, you know, doing dust and soul for dust and soul. That's fine. It didn't save you. And it don't make you no more saved. If we want to be real about it. But it's good. Because you see, when you do what's right, because it's the right thing to do, you save yourself. You won't have to worry about this problem and that problem. You don't sell drugs. You don't have to worry about getting killed and worry about the police. So just doing right in general has its benefits. So you do these things, and it benefits you. And it pleases God. But it doesn't save you. And you shouldn't be boasting. You see, this scripture is letting us know that the best is yet to come. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, but eyes have not seen and nor have ears heard, nor it into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. We all should wake up each morning with a spirit of expectancy, knowing that God is willing and able to accomplish that work which he has begun in each of us. We became Christian through God's unmerited grace not as a result of our efforts. Come on, y'all. Not as a result of our efforts, ability, intelligence, choice, or acts of service on our part. Please don't get it twisted. Jesus paid the price. God gave the grace. So should any man boast, oh, I'm this. I did good. Good job. And God designed it that way so no one can get the big head concerning their salvation. Only looking to God and thanking him for what we could not do. And then the verse 10 talks about we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in it. We got to realize we are his masterpiece. Each and every one of us is a unique, one-of-a-kind work of art. We are all a part of his master plan before the foundation of the world, having been morally recreated by Christ for good works. This is since the Christian has been given spiritual life for the purpose of doing good works. God is so conscious of us learning how to treat one another, because he knows if we say it and we receive the salvation and go and begin our eternal life, we're going to have to live with others forever. He said two commandments, love him with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor like yourself. Always talk about how we treat one another. He said if you do that, you would accomplish all of the laws and the prophets. There could be no good works by him before your conversion. That would merit salvation. God designed us for good works, but he didn't stop there. He gave us the gifts, the talents, the resources, the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and truth. Then he gave us strength to do the will, and he gave us the ability to perform his expected end for our lives. God did all of that, should any man boast. And I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Philippians 2 and 13, it says, for it is God which working in you. Listen again. For it is God which working in you to will and to do of his good pleasures. God's good pleasure that he want to get from you. He give you what you need to work it. It is God that's working in you from the inside out. Come on, y'all. God is constantly molding and shaping, arranging and rearranging us. Come on, y'all. God is constantly allowing the Holy Spirit to give us illumination and revelation. It is God that working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. He's going to work it in you if you allow it. See, that's our job, to allow, commit, and submit to the things of God. We can believe when you say, but God, in all of our situations, we would have peace because of the trust we have in God. And I want to tell you tonight, we're not working to be saved because we have received the eternal free gift of grace through faith, we should do good works unto the giver of the works. And I want to let you know, good works follows. It did not precede salvation. We saw that in the scriptures. Good works follows. It did not precede salvation. And that's our lesson for tonight. any comments, questions, or concern, you can press the 1 button on your phone, and I'll open your mic. Caller, your number is 504-715. Elyria Mackey. Elyria Mack, if you trying to talk, we can't hear you.
Yes, I'm here. No, I wasn't trying to talk. And I don't know how I'm always whining in the queue, but I'm going to sing something tonight.
All right. You want to sing a song?
Yes, I will.
All right. And no one else, anyone
thank you, Lord.
Would like to say something, please,
Lord.
Just, if anyone would like to say something, we'll let you make your comments and we'll let her sing as we go out. Anyone have anything they would like to say?
Yes, he is.
All right, Minister Mackie, you can sing us out. And,
there's a work I've done. Speak for me. There's a word I've done. Speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave, there is nothing that can be said. There's a word I've done. Speak for me. May the life I live speak for me. May the life I live, let it speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave, there is nothing that can be said. May the work I've done speak for me. May the service I give speak for me. May the service I give, it will speak for me. When I've done all I could and I'm resting in my grave, may the service that I give speak for me. May the work I've done speak for me. May the word I've done, let it speak for me. When I'm resting in my grave, there is nothing else to be said, but may the work that I've done speak for me. Thank you, Lord. May the work I've done, it will speak for me. May the work I've done speak for me. When I've done the best I can and there's nothing to be said, may the work I've done speak for me. And when I'm singing that, I often think about the scripture in John when the disciples asked Jesus, what is the work of God? And he told them, this is the work of God, and that sixth chapter, that you believe on the Son. So as we believe on Christ Jesus and believe what his word says, that it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, we give him praise and we give him honor. We give him glory. We didn't save ourselves. God sent his Son to come and die and on the cross, rose on the third day to purchase us with his blood. And I love the way Ephesians said that we are his purchased possession. The word of God said we've been bought with a price. It's the blood of Jesus. We are not our own. And we have to live like Jesus requires us to live, that we walk in the Spirit and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Be encouraged, my sisters and brothers. Put on the whole armor of God. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Minister Elyria Mackey from Bootville, Louisiana. And when we had the scriptures tonight, you know, we do either workmanship or service, realizing it is Christ. You know, we didn't save ourselves. And it goes on and on. It talks about salvation through Christ Jesus, all that God had done for us. Many times we say, we want God to say, servant, well done. Well, you got to do the service. So, Sister Pam, you can lead us out in a prayer.
Thank you, Minister Mackey, for that song. I always love that song. Thank you so much for that blessing. Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4. May the grace of God, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore and until we meet again. Amen. And good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We are approaching the Holy Week, and we should concentrate on Jesus. And I thought I could give you a little bit to see what Jesus Christ did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And that's why we thank God for who he is. Good night, everybody. Be blessed. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next Wednesday. I just want you guys to know I love each and every one of you. And I constantly pray for you and ask that you pray for each other and pray for me as well. In Jesus' name, see you next week. Good night.
Good night.